chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." The righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for Me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after Me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. God's word for our consideration this morning. Please be seated. I've called the title of this message, "Who Are the Sheep and the Goats?" We all know that by appearance there is a difference between a sheep and a goat. But to answer this question, who are the sheep? Remember, they're on their right, and of course, that my right and your right is two different things here this morning. I realize that. But this question, who are the sheep and the goats, has provoked at least a mild amount of controversy among Bible scholars. We know in the first century that sheep and goats would mingle together in the countryside during the day. But at night they were often separated. The sheep were able to tolerate the cooler air, but the goats had to be herded together for warmth. Some Bible scholars believe this text is not a parable, but this is a description of end-time events, or apocalyptic language, with a simile in Matthew 25:32. They look at it and say, well, the only elements of a parable here would be the shepherd, the sheep, the goats, and the actual separation. Some people who have studied this for years believe this text refers to the Jewish people, and that Gentile people in the future will be judged on the basis of their treatment of God's chosen people. Other Christians believe that we are witnessing in this chapter the judgment of individuals who are part of the various nations of this earth. Some people believe that the remnant of the Jewish people is meant here. Others would say that Matthew chapter 12, 46 to 50 is a real key to interpret this passage. In other words, they would say anyone who befriends those whom Jesus is prepared to call these brothers of mine in their hour of need and persecution would do the same for their master Jesus if they had the chance. Did you catch that phrase mentioned a couple times? The least of these brothers of mine. This is understood by some Bible scholars to refer to all the people in this world who are hungry, distressed, or needy. In other words, the suffering of humanity that we see all too often. But some have expressed surprise when they studied this passage by this emphasis by Jesus at this time of judgment on meeting the material needs of other people. Think about some of the people in our society that we don't think too much about or we take for granted. Maybe one of the least thanked groups of people in our society are those individuals you see in those great big trucks that go around to empty the garbage. Emptying the garbage isn't what we would call a high-class job, but I understand sometimes they're referred to as sanitation engineers, right? However, once in New York City, all of the garbage men decided to go on strike. And all of a sudden, those typically underrated people became the most significant people in New York City because the whole place began to smell. Just try it. Let a couple of weeks go by and your garbage doesn't get picked up. All of a sudden, those garbage men that you took for granted, those nobodies, became important somebodies. Someone has said that God has made the nobodies of this world somebodies, and He measures our significance on how we treat them. You know, I think it's important for us to take time in our busy schedules to spend some time with those people that are taken for granted or ignored by our society. Some Bible scholars think that this judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25 is another way of putting the great white throne judgment that's described in the book of Revelation chapter 20. But other people look at this chapter on the sheep and the goats and they think, well, Jesus is referring to his disciples. The fate of the nations will be determined by how they have responded to the followers of Jesus, who are charged, of course, with spreading the gospel. And we know even today, not in our country, but in so many countries of the world, Christian people who want to share the gospel, they share it in the face of hunger, thirst, illness, and imprisonment. Look again at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Once a pastor confessed that he pulled up to this fine restaurant establishment called McDonald's now and then. And over the years, he slowly learned something about McDonald's. He learned that they were not prepared if he ordered something abnormal. He learned that they sort of have a mass production system going on there, and anything that you order out of the ordinary will throw that system off. If you want a number three, you better say a number three and say nothing else. But what happens if you decide to order a little special configuration for your dining delight? After paying, if you add anything to that number three or take away anything from that number three, you will be promptly told to please pull up and pull over. In other words, you're going to have to wait. If you ask for something special, they're not going to be prepared. They're going to need more time to prepare your special request. But perhaps the extra wait would be worth it. The order would come just as you would like it. I think there's a spiritual application here. If you want run-of-the-mill living, then just keep on living like you are going. Drive through life and get whatever else everybody is getting. But if you really want something special in your life, if you want something custom designed, if you want something someday that's going to have your name written on it, you have to pull over. You have to give your request to the Lord. And the Lord might take time when, if in your life, not only to prepare you, but to prepare you to receive and deliver something so uniquely important that it will have your name on it. Good deeds done to them, according to Jesus, even the least of these, are not only works of compassion and morality, but they reflect where people stand in relation to the kingdom of God and to Jesus himself. In this chapter, Jesus is identifying himself with the fate of his followers, and he makes compassion for them equivalent to compassion for himself. There was a young lady, and Sally happens to be here, but Sally, I just want to tell people this wasn't you, okay? But there was a young lady named Sally, but it's not Sally, okay? And she was taking a seminary class taught by a Professor Smith. And it wasn't me either, okay? And Professor Smith at this seminary was known for his rather elaborate object lessons. And so one day, Sally walks into class, and she finds on the classroom wall a large target. And she sees a nearby table, and there are a whole bunch of darts on this table. Now, Professor Smith told the students to take out a piece of paper and draw a picture of someone they disliked. Draw a picture of someone who made them angry. And he would allow them to take that picture, put it up on that dartboard, and they would be allowed to throw darts at it. While Sally's friend on her right drew the picture of another woman who had stolen her boyfriend. And another friend on Sally's left drew a picture of his younger brother. Sally thought, I'm going to draw a picture of Professor Smith. And so she starts drawing this picture of Professor Smith, and she's putting a great amount of detail in her drawing, and she's even putting in the pimples on his face. She has this drawing in front of her, and she is so pleased at the overall effect that she had achieved. Well, the members of this class, they stand up in line and they get ready to start throwing darts. They're laughing. And some of the students were throwing these darts with such force that the pictures they had drawn were just ripped apart. Sally was impatient. Sally was waiting for her turn. And she was filled with disappointment and rage when Professor Smith asked the students to return to their seats so he could begin her lecture. Sally sat down, fuming at missing her chance to throw the darts at the professor. And the professor began removing from the target all of those pictures that had been placed on the wall. And as he removed sheet after sheet, underneath a blank sheet was a picture of Jesus Christ. And a hush fell over the room as the students looked at this picture of Jesus Christ that had been pierced and mangled with holes and jagged marks was covering the face of Jesus. His eyes were virtually all pierced out. And as the class looked at that picture of Jesus, Professor Smith said these words from Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. The Bible clearly teaches that one day Jesus is going to sit on his throne, not just as a judge, but also as an executive king, because all divine authority will be mediated through him. Some people believe that the phrase all the nations means all the peoples of the earth. since the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached not just to the Gentiles, but also to the Jews. I don't want you to get a misconception about this passage. This isn't talking about judging the Canadians, the Americans, and the Mexicans. But this is rather a judgment of individuals between national groups. Jesus, in this text, addresses the sheep as individuals who have been blessed inasmuch as they have received an inheritance by his heavenly Father. And of course, you don't get an inheritance without a relationship, right? This presupposes a relationship with him. And their glorious inheritance is now consummated in the kingdom that was the Father's plan for them from the very beginning of time. The sheep are on his right at a place of power and honor. But then Matthew 25, verses 41 to 45, they describe an awful condemnation. The goats are cursed. They're banished from the king's presence and sent to eternal fire. The hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels also serves as a place of doom for those guilty of, you're probably wondering, what kinds of sin? For those guilty of the sins of omission, of which Jesus speaks in this text. And it really doesn't matter that these goats are saying, Lord. It doesn't matter at this point. Some people believe, as you read this text, there's sort of some surprises in here for both the sheep and the goats. But I think there are five things that we really need to consider together. First of all, neither the sheep or the goats express any surprise at the place the king assigns them. But rather, they express surprise at the reason given for this. That is, they are either admitted or excluded from heaven on the basis of how they treated the least of these, or how, in essence, they treated Jesus. You know, the surprise of the righteous makes it impossible to think that works of righteousness win salvation. Did you notice the sheep didn't have to demonstrate love to gain a final reward? Nor did the goats show it to flaunt their final retribution of eternal punishment. And think about the goats for a minute. If the goats had thought that their treatment of Jesus' brothers would have given them entrance to the kingdom, they doubtless would have treated the least of these, my brothers, more compassionately. But you see, Jesus is interested in righteousness of the whole person, a righteousness that comes into a person's heart by faith and trust in Christ. But yet, as individuals align themselves with the distressed and the afflicted, they are aligning themselves with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because he identifies with people who are in distress and afflicted. You know, true disciples, and I'm sure everybody in here wants to be a disciple of Jesus, true disciples not only demonstrate their love for one another, but they also have the desire to serve each other with compassion. And you think about it, as we show our love to each other and as we practice servant leadership with each other, we are unconsciously showing those same characteristics to Christ. Those who have little sympathy for the gospel and the kingdom, they're going to remain indifferent. And in so doing, they reject Jesus as the manager of their lives. Another point. Sins of omission are just as serious as sins of commission. In other words, when we don't do right, that's just as serious as doing wrong. Think about the goats in this passage. Did the goats torture anybody? No. Did the goats murder anyone? No. The goats simply withheld the love and help that they were able to give to the hungry, the stranger, the prisoner, and the helpless. Think about it. to refuse to warn the occupants of a burning home could be just as bad as if you set fire to that home yourself. And there's another picture here. The picture is incomplete. The picture we have here about salvation is incomplete. This picture is not the full account of everything that has to do with personal salvation. These verses deal with evidences by which individuals will be judged, not with the cause of salvation. Because over and over again, what does the Bible teach? Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. And grace is that undeserved, unmerited, and the unearned kindness of God. And you know, as a pastor, sometimes, and my wife knows this, you know, I wake up at night and I keep thinking, why can't this person, why can't that person, why can't this group, why can't this other group, why can't they forgive and give other people the grace that God wants to give them? I think this passage is intended to be a real warning for every one of us. Because from his brothers, and could I add sisters, Jesus expects more, not less. I hope that this passage can serve as a reality check for our profession of faith. This account of Judgment Day, this isn't a complete account. This is just a little snapshot. But it's a reminder that God will separate obedient followers from pretenders and unbelievers, and he will assign the appropriate rewards and the appropriate punishment. And I think the most important question for every one of us this morning is this: how will we receive Jesus Christ and respond to other people in a meaningful way? Would you stand as we join together for number 759? What if it were today?